Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friend, have stumbled upon the Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Welcome to episode 73 of your monthly paranormal variety show. Summer's in full swing here in Newfoundland, and I hope everything's going good with you. Man, oh man. Having you here is better than a nice cold drink on a hot summer's day. Why? Because you're wonderful, a masterpiece, beautifully made, important to people because you're important to me, highly favored by your creator. Whether that's God, or by the law of averages and physics working in tandem, you, my friend, are an oddball. And here on this show, you're a family, and we are one. Episode 73 of your monthly paranormal variety show. Thanks so much to those new subscribers I got last month. Must have really, really enjoyed the five-year anniversary show, as did everybody. Great responses, and thank you so very, very much for helping me get the word out about that. You know, traditionally, August is kind of a slow time for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, but not this year. Oh, no, no, no. In fact, we got more downloads this year than we have the last three Augustuses in a row. Is that how you say the plural of August? Augustuses? Augustuses? Things have been going pretty good. Workouts have been going great, you know. I'm starting to bulk up a little bit here. Unfortunately, with all this summertime beer, it's mostly around my waist. But that's beside the point. I'm still keeping up with my workouts. So there you go. That's out of the way. I'll stop talking about it. Summertime is always such a fun time to be me. Because my kids are home and I get to have lots and lots of fun. And ultimately, you know, it really comes down to two things. The kids can go outside and play, and I can, you know, record podcasts for you guys. There was a couple of opportunities missed last show, so I'm going to go ahead and say it this show. Cat Ward at Paranormal Heart actually has me on for a short segment for a part of her show called Oddities, an old part that I used to have in this show. And I hope you guys actually give her a chance and check her out. And, of course, vice versa, those Paranormal Hearters out there, don't be afraid to give John a little listen. Before we get jumping into all this stuff, I got some really, 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 really cool stuff coming up in this show. You know, we got Betty talking about summertime, too. She actually recorded live from her backyard, and it's so nice. You can hear the birds and the bees and the, well, you know, not that kind of birds and the bees. Get your mind out of the gutter. And, you know, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing was this month as well passed. And Laura decided to jump in there and jump on the whole why it wasn't a hoax bandwagon, which is just really, really interesting. I happen to think the moon landing really did happen as well. Even though it's still weird to think that they got up there with less technology that exists inside your cell phone. Anyway. And of course, later in the show, I kind of get psychic surgery. It's really, really weird. My guests are hilarious. You're going to love it. And I really, really appreciate them coming on. They have such an interesting point of view. But nothing that we're foreign to on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. The idea that it's mind over matter and that we can actually affect the physical well-being, you know, with the mental well-being, which makes complete and total sense. Speaking of my mental well-being, it's time to jump into the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast paranormal news. Buckle up. We're going to Rochester first.
Somewhere between the funnies and the obituaries is... Oh, yes. The paranormal news.
Not content with offering a venue for weddings, baptisms, and Holy Communion, Rochester Cathedral in Kent has added Crazy Golf. Yeah, that's right. To its repertoire, the medieval nave has been transformed into an adventure course for the summer in a bid to attract a younger crowd and encourages visitors to learn about the engineering behind the nearby Rochester Bridge. Organizers have used the crossing over a River Midway as the main inspiration behind the nine-hole challenge, but it also features homages to similar local routes like the Queen Elizabeth II bridges and the Dartford Crossing. The course has been paid for by the Rochester Bridge Trust, which has maintained numerous Midway crossings since medieval times and designed the HM Adventure Golf. It will run at 1400-year-old church building from August 1st to September 1st, so get out there and get at it while you still can, and daytime sessions will still be free. How about that? Why don't you go ahead and have a little game of mini golf with Jesus? It'd be deadly. I'd love to play mini golf with that guy. For some reason, though, I think he might let me win. He usually does in the real world, too. Man, oh man, oh man, what is going on in Europe? A mysterious radioactive cloud that blanketed Europe was traced back to a Russian nuclear facility. This is not good news. The probable culprit behind a mysterious cloud of radioactive particles detected floating between Europe in 2017 actually appears to have been identified. The radiation spike in form of an extremely high airborne concentration of the radioactive isotope ruthenium-106 was detected by scientists in October 2017, but the source of the dramatic radiation surge was never definitively confirmed. At this time, many speculated that nuclear facilities in Russia were responsible for what was perceived as an accident ruthenium-106 release, despite denials at the time by Russian authorities. Now new research looks to back up the Russian origin hypothesis. According to an international team of almost 70 scientists led by radionuclides researcher Oliver Masson from the Institute of Radio Protection, Aide de Sûreté Nucléaire in France, based on an airborne concentration, speeding, spreading, and chemical considerations, it is possible to assume that the release occurred in the southern Ural region, or the Russian Federation, the researchers explain in their new paper. This is not good. According to the new analysis, the measurements indicate the largest singular release of radioactivity from a civilian reprocessing plant was actually this incident. Now, this is back in 2017. No word on how many deer and squirrels and stuff have been mutated. Moving on. More than 500 teeth have been removed from a child's mouth in India. Yeah. Wow. The 7-year-old boy had complained to his parents since the age of 3. They had swelling on the right side of his lower jaw. After 4 years of discomfort, doctors in Chennai discovered a large growth in his jaw. Oh, God. Next time you get a little bit of meat stuck in your teeth or something after eating steak on the barbecue, you think about this poor kid. Hundreds of hard structures were found within the lump, which had been around 5 to 3 centimeters in size. Once it was removed, medical staff cut it open and found 526 teeth of varying sizes inside. Dental surgeon Dr. Stolithinian said, "The tumor is very nicely formed from the rest of the bones and 4 to 5 centimeters into the 3 centimeter size in the right side of the lower jaw that is completely removed and now taken out." Then finally we come to know that there was 526 teeth which were present in the entire sack. Oh boy, the tooth fairy would love this kid. He'd be rich. I mean, I don't know how much they give in India, but man, oh man, that's at least 1,000 smackaroos here in good old Newfoundland. You take what you can get. Oh, Newfoundland, I love it here. Home to gigantic whales of many kinds, especially the humpback whale, the most calm and cool of all, until something crazy was caught on camera these last few weeks. Incredible images show sea lions swallowed whole by a lowly humpback whale. The smaller creature had a very close call when it was scooped up as the whale shifted the sea to its food. Incredible photographs of a sea lion being swallowed whole by a humpback whale have been captured in what is claimed to be a world first. The sea lion, estimated to weigh around 400 pounds, is seen being engulfed by the jaws in Monterey Bay in California. Humpbacks hunt with their huge mouths agape, swallowing fish as they go and filtering up to 500 gallons of water per gulp. Three of the whales were feeding alongside 200 sea lions when the unlucky creature got caught in the wrong place at the time. Luckily, though, a humpback's throat is relatively small, about as wide as a watermelon, so the sea lion survived the encounter. Wildlife photographer Chase Dacre, 27, said that normally the agile sea lions are able to avoid the whales as they compete for food. So, you know, if you see this picture online and you see, like, some crazy dancing bologna, please click my garbage that says, you know, sea lions are eaten now by humpback whales, you know, nuclear waste is mutating to whales and all this silliness. It was just an accident, and the sea lion lived to tell the tale. And I'm not saying we're all dumb, okay? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this month definitely showed a side of us that is leaning towards the sign, or side, shall I say, of insanity, as 500,000 people signed up to raid Area 51 and see them aliens. Conspiracy theorists say the U.S. government is hiding aliens and UFOs from them. Now they're determined to find the evidence, which I'm cool with. I agree with. I think we should be able to go on the base. But you realize those guys are heavily armed. 500,000 people have signed up to storm a U.S. military base that conspiracy theorists say holds alien technology. The event is called Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us. Yeah, I know. I mean, you'll have to use the 38 people in front of you as shields as they shoot you with machine guns. We will all meet up at the Area 51 Alien Center tourist attraction and coordinate our entry. If we Naruto run, we can move faster than their bullets. Let's see them aliens. If we Naruto run? God. Okay, the guy who plans this quotes Naruto, you're already in trouble, okay? If anybody doesn't know, that's an anime from my childhood. Naruto Run is the unique running style of Naruto Uzumaki, the star of a Japanese anime series, Naruto, who sprints with his arms stretched behind him. I guess it'll make him less of a target for the machine guns. The event set for the 20th of September, guys, there's still time. Okay, I hope I get some of you like this. It's likely a joke. Its creator is best known for posting memes and streaming content on Twitch, a live streaming platform for gamers, according to comicbook.com. Oh my God, guys, please don't do this. I love you all. Like, I want my subscribers to grow. And chances are, if you're in Area 51, you're into this podcast. So, for the love of God, for the love of all that's holy, please don't storm Area 51. Okay? Don't worry. We'll have contact with aliens soon enough. You don't need to go in there and get shot up and be full of bullet holes. Oh, my nerves. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through the rest of this summer, guys. Please don't do it. In the news this month, we had, which I thought was really cool, a cathedral that opened up some crazy mini golf. We had a giant cloud of death over Russia. We had a child who, you know, would totally make loot off the fairy. Off the tooth fairy with 526 teeth removed from his little jaw. We had a sea lion that almost, you know, got eaten and swallowed whole. And of course, the wonderful viral story of over 500,000 people wanting to raid Area 51. Guys, all these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
And welcome to Dr. Norris Lair. Power on. I'll get the broom.
Happy August, one and all. I don't know about you, but July was so much fun because it was the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, and I loved hearing all the first-hand accounts and those in mission control and the facts and figures surrounding the event. And of course, the generations of people in science and technology who were inspired by these historic giants. Of all the little bits that really baffled me was the average age of those in mission control. 26. 26 years old. I always pictured old men. How fascinating. When Apollo 11 landed on the moon in 1969, it ushered in a new era of planetary science. When Neil Armstrong took his first steps on the moon, it marked a new era, not only of humans, but also science. There's always been a mystique and conspiracy for some of whether they actually landed on the moon or not. I know my grandfather always said that they can make movies just like that these days with much skepticism. So today we're going to talk a little bit about this. Phil Plate has mixed feelings about the moon landing hoax. He is known as the bad astronomer to many thousands of readers on sci-fi, and he told Space.com that he's frustrated that he and others like him still have to debunk the hoax theory from time to time, even 50 years after the first moon landing. But then again, he became famous because he's really good at debunking it in the first place. Back in February 2001, Fox began running a documentary called Conspiracy Theory, Did We Actually Land on the Moon? And he coincidentally had a pile of research ready from a book he was writing, and a friend sent him an advance copy to show him that he had time to write up a response. Plait has an essay on his personal blog about this, which he published shortly after the show aired, and quickly generated thousands of views, years before Facebook, Twitter, and today's social media even existed. Fox's TV show prevailed Plait's writing to a large audience, and his 2002 book, Bad Astronomy, Misconceptions and Misuses Revealed, From Astrology to the Moon Landing, Hoax, helped as well. Plait remains a popular science commentator nearly two decades later. I kind of wish it never aired, Plait said about the Fox documentary, because it opened a huge Pandora's box. On the other hand, it's exposing a wound to sunlight. That thing was there anyway, just festering. Let it get out to the public, and let it heal, and let it kill the infection. But yeah, it's troubling. Just to know that if Fox hadn't aired it, who knows what my career path would have been. Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepped onto the lunar surface on July 20th, 1969. Even back then, some folks were skeptical that the feat was technologically possible. The James Bond movie Diamonds Are Forever, for example, had a joke about faked moon landings 2 years later in 1971. But what really propelled the conspiracy theory into popular culture, Plait says, was the 1978 film Capricorn 1. Which portrays a faked human landing on Mars. Also, a 1976 self-published pamphlet by Bill Kaysing called We Never Went to the Moon was popular among conspiracy-minded people of the day. That was 40 years ago, but moon hoax enthusiasts, or moon landing deniers, are still with us today. The X-Files brought all sorts of space conspiracies into the public consciousness in the 1990s and the 2000s. And the rebooted version of the show addressed the moon landing in a 2018 episode. The conspiracy was also addressed in many other fictional TV shows, from Futurama to Friends. Meanwhile, some documentary films and reality TV efforts, including a 2008 episode of Mythbusters, for example, try to chase away the conspiracy theory by educating people. Others, such as folks behind the 2002 mockumentary Dark Side of the Moon, spoofed moon hoaxers. Opinion polls over the years regularly show that approximately 5% of Americans believe the moon landings were fake. And this is according to the NASA chief historian Roger Linnaeus. There's more than 16 million people in that group, assuming the U.S. population is 327 million. NASA has a lot of debunking work over the years, including a 2018 offering to NBA superstar Stephen Curry to view moon rocks at the NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, after Curry said he didn't believe in the moon landings. A few days later, Curry said he made the comments in jest. Earlier this year, a NASA spokesperson, Alard Boutelle, recited a pile of evidence supporting the moon landings to the Washington Post. He mentioned the return rocks, the ability to bounce laser beams off gear the astronauts left behind, and images NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter took of the Apollo landings in 2011. Nevertheless, even former astronauts have found themselves in the fray. Space Shuttle astronaut Leland Melvin tackled this topic in a 2019 Space Channel series Truth Behind the Moon Landing, which also features Space.com editor-in-chief Tariq Malik as a guest. And in 2002, Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin punched a moon landing denier in the jaw during a taped confrontation. Police did say that Aldrin was provoked and no charges were filed. Plait said there is a danger in talking about the moon landing conspiracy and other clearly debunked conspiracies like it, such as vaccines causing autism or humans not being responsible for climate change. It's possible, he said, that by airing any of these debates, the media gives legitimacy to the conspiracy. Plait said he sometimes struggles about whether to address a conspiracy in the blog. He tries to discuss ones that are wildly talked about already. But it's a tough job in fast-moving social media. Plait said we should remember that conspiracy beliefs often have real-life effects. For example, because of the anti-vax movement, babies are dying, kids are dying, older people are dying, people with compromised immune systems are dying. Extreme weather events driven in part by climate change are killing people as well, he said. Plait clarified that he did not blame any particular political position for the strife, not even the alt-right, as it doesn't play into their ideology. But nonetheless, he added, all of this stuff has been corralling the imagination of the American public and forcing it in a direction to not think critically, and to react instead of sitting and thinking a moment about things, and to doubt, even when you can lay a paper trail from point A to point B right in front of someone. They won't believe it. But Plait still tries. He remembers being on a radio show not too long ago, going over the usual arguments conspiracy theorists use, for example, why there are no stars and sky in Apollo pictures of the lunar surface. The reason was the cameras had very fast exposure times and all the stars were too faint to show. Then someone called in with some bizarre, trivial thing that made no sense at all. Plait recalled, and bless him, the radio host jumped in and said, listen, this guy said your 10 biggest claims are wrong. At what point are you going to back down? If you are interested in learning more, there should be a lot of really recent resources and interviews and documentation that have been updated recently, given the big 50-year anniversary. 50 years ago was an interesting time in world history, in American history in particular. It was a time of revolution, Vietnam, civil rights, drugs, and sex. And remember, the Apollo 11 program wasn't greeted with all sunshines and daisies either. The civil rights leader, Ralph Abernathy, led a group of 500 activists behind mule-drawn carts to meet NASA's Deputy Administrator Thomas Paine the evening before the launch. One-fifth of the country was living without proper health care, food, and shelter. Abernathy pointed out, an inordinate proportion of them were black. I'm here, he said, to demonstrate with poor people in a symbolic way against the tragic and inexcusable gulf that exists between America's technological abilities and our social injustices. The year before, he had held Martin Luther King Jr. as he bled to death, and he must have wondered where the image fit in the minds of the audience. Billions for space, the sign said. Pennies for the hungry. I find the history of science and technology fascinating as there is a complicated balance of ethics and morality, of choices and decisions. This continues today. I hope you have a very happy August. Thanks, John.
Welcome, everyone. Your Oracle Betty here with words of wisdom for your consideration for the month of August. Interesting month. Today I'm actually doing the recording from my garden. It is absolutely beautiful outside. Any sounds that you hear behind me are actual natural sounds. Sounds of my garden. So welcome to my garden, everyone. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy this sunny, beautiful, blue-skied, hot in Newfoundland, Canada day. So this month, we could call it the month that we clue up summer to move into fall, or I like to look at early August as the middle of the summer on this island in the North Atlantic, because it's only the past couple of weeks that, and I'm not kidding when I say this, it's only the past couple of weeks since mid-July in Newfoundland that it has warmed to what we can actually call summer. A lot of our natives, a lot of us who live here and have lived here all our lives, We'll say that this island has two seasons. We have winter and then we have this. So this happens to be, it's really warm today. And some people, I think probably people from the south, would consider this a cool day. It's about 24 degrees Celsius, very sunny. As you can hear, there's a wind, but it's coming from the right direction. It's coming from the southwest, which means it's coming from the land. So it's warm. It's not coming off the water. What else about this beautiful, beautiful day and this beautiful weather? I can't talk enough about beautiful weather because I guess we don't get very much weather like this. Some summers, I remember summers as a child, and even within the last 25 years, summers beginning in May and, you know, continuing on until November. And it's not unusual for us to have a warm December, warm being 15 to 17 degrees Celsius. So that's pretty good. But to me, this is midsummer. And so we're still in that mode of there's no school. There's no school right now. There's the kids, all of the children are out of school. This is my dog you're hearing. His name is Dr. Pepper, by the way. And he just likes to bark because there's movement. It doesn't matter what moves. So I should ask him if he wants to come and join this podcast with me. So maybe we can get his input on the weather. I don't think he particularly cares what the weather is like. He's not fond of really hot weather. So he's in the shade right now. Our garden is really shaded because we have huge, very, very mature maple trees. And I've got an apple tree that hasn't produced in a couple of years. We've got dogberry trees here. It's really interesting because these dogberry trees, they flowered as per usual. So last summer there were no flowers on them at all. None. That meant we had no dogberries at all in the winter. And I know that the same with apples. Your apple comes from the flower seed. So we have there have been no flowers on the apple tree for this 2 years in a row. The dogberries, the flowers this year, the trees were white. The trees were just white. And now the white flowers have turned brown. And it really does not look like they are going to turn to any kind of berry whatsoever. My husband made the comment yesterday, it doesn't look like, even though there were flowers, doesn't look like there are going to be any berries. So it's very interesting how the world is, the weather and whatnot is going, and I guess Laura would be more to speak to that, our scientists. So I'm just going to talk about things like enjoying, how to enjoy this kind of weather. There are people who I know today on this island are complaining about the heat. Oh my God, it's so hot. It is for us. It's beautiful. I can't get enough of it. I used to tell my mother I was born on a ship in the Caribbean. I don't belong here because I love the heat. I don't like cold at all. So this is a perfect day for me. I know, as I said, there are people just coming. I know that there are people, like my mother was latterly, 100 pounds, not very much meat on her bones at all. And she found it cold the summer she passed away. It was hot. It was a very, very hot summer and very dry. There were a lot of fires. It was 7 years ago, actually, this summer. It was a really dry summer all across Canada. And she was really cold, even in the heat. You know, we would be sitting out in the garden, in her garden, on her deck. And I would be melting in the sun while Mom was sitting in the sun in her fleece. In her little fleece pants and her little fleece jacket. And she would still be cold. And I guess end of life, things like that do happen. And people who are really, really tiny and aren't overly active, not out running around all the time and metabolisms on bust, just very tiny people find it very cold because they don't have, like myself, meat on their bones. I have lots of meat on my bones to keep me warm, even though I find the cold. And that's another interesting fact. Why would I find the cold with this meat on my bones when a lot of people I know don't? I have friends who just these tiny little mites, just the tiny, tiny little bones. And man, oh man, they're warm all the time. And it's like, can I have some of your heat, please? They say cold hands, warm heart. Well, cold body, warm butt. I don't know. I don't know. And I sit here and I watch the, you know, it's so lovely just to sit here and watch the few flies flying around, watch the birds, listen to the birds, listen to the sound of the motorcycles, and try and literally drink it in. That's how to keep. When we're all looking for a way, you know, you go visit some beautiful place, like you're over in Greece or you're in Spain or you're in Trinity, Newfoundland. You're some beautiful, beautiful place, and you want to keep it. You want to keep that feeling with you. You can actually do that. All you have to do is be there in the minute. So you're wherever it is you are, like me right now in my garden. There is nothing else right now. There is no minute's time. There is no minute past. I am very present, feeling the heat, feeling the dampness of the grass under my feet because my husband washed off my table, feeling all of the sensations and breathing, literally, deep breath in and just feel it. Can you feel it? You just feel it. And then if you close your eyes, you can even cement it more. I've done that loads of times. I do it in the middle of winter when it's freezing, freezing, freezing cold, and I'm freezing, freezing cold, and I don't know what to do. I'll close my eyes and I'll put myself back on the beach in Cuba. I will close my eyes and I will put myself back on Long Island Beach on Vancouver Island. I can put myself anywhere. I have been here on my own deck many, many days and been in Cuba. And people are looking, I know that people are probably looking at your, whatever you're listening on to this on now, right now, your phone, or and saying, oh, there's something wrong with this woman. Yeah, there is. But I firmly believe in enjoying life, all of it. Even some of the not so nice parts of it. We take something from it and we learn from it. That's what it's all about. That's why we go through the not so nice stuff. The other side of the not so nice stuff is bottling it up. I know, you know, even though it's midsummer and it's hot and the sun is shining and it's gorgeous, there are people who are battling with all types of issues. Not necessarily physical life issues. Things that are going on in our heads and our hearts right now. Our hearts are expanding. There's more love coming in. We have to, because the dark is darker. That means the light has to get lighter. And it is. We grow it intentionally. And as this sun is shining on me, we think about that golden, golden light that you can just imagine it. Close your eyes for half a second and just imagine that golden, golden light and hear that bird. Hear that bird. Imagine that light. Now grow it. Grow it, grow it, grow it really big to encompass your whole entire body. There you are. A light being. That's what a light being is. You are. We all are. We carry these meat suits for this lifetime that we're in right now. And once this lifetime is done, some would say, oh, well, there's nothing after this. I am not of that school of belief. I'm of the school of belief that there's a whole lot more to be done. And once we leave this sphere, it's lovely, it's beautiful, it's blue, it's the pictures I've seen of it from space look absolutely amazing. Sitting here in my garden with that gorgeous summer wind, feeling the heat of the sun, that's pretty amazing in itself. But when we finish on this lovely, amazing planet, there are other places to go. There are other things to do. I have too much education behind me to say otherwise. and too much knowledge of memories, I guess. Not more than knowledge. Memories of things that you can't imagine. There's no possible way that you can imagine some of the memories that I have. And if I have them, I can imagine that you do too. And you think, ah, oh, that's nonsense, that's foolishness. It's a memory and it's coming from somewhere. So what were we before we came here? I'm still, you know, I'll be 65 years old in a month and a half, and I still look up at the sky and wonder, why is the sky blue? Why, like, where do the clouds come from? I know the answer to all of that, scientifically. But the inner child is still asking that question, and the inner child says, this tree beside me every single year in the fall changes color, the leaves do, and the leaves fall off. And for all intents and purposes, my beautiful big tree looks dead. And then, in May or June, on this island, whatever Mother Nature decides for us, we start to see that bright spring green again. And now, in the middle of the summer, we have the canopy. It's a canopy of leaves. And my husband is really good at pruning our trees because he keeps them pruned so we can walk under them. And these trees, holy smoke, some of them have to be... And when I say this number, there are people who are listening to this now who are going to laugh at me. They're probably 70 feet tall. And my brother would laugh at me. He lives on Vancouver Island. He has trees on his property that are 250 feet high. So he would laugh at me. And... But for us here, you know, when these leaves are gone, the landscape is totally different. Well, it is everywhere, certainly. But our leaves are gone for an awful lot longer than most of the world. Ours are gone. We lose our leaves in December, generally. We've had some Decembers where Christmases where we've still had a few leaves hanging around on the trees. But generally by December, they go. And they don't come back again until May or June or whatever the season brings, whatever Mother Nature throws at us. But this year, so there's a lot of people, if we talk about this summer and the way this summer has been, so what kind of a summer did you have? Well, I know Newfoundlanders who we've had probably... This is probably the fourth day this year so far, like this. Hot like this, warm. Maybe the fourth day, maybe. There are people who I know this winter will say, oh my God, what a fabulous summer we had. And I'm just going to have to roll my eyes at that one, or not, or close my eyes, it's best. Close them and then roll them, because... To me, a good summer would start in February. I remember springs that began in February, you know, and we'd have runoff and we wouldn't have any significant snow after that. Yeah, we'd get a dust or we'd get a little something in March and April just to let us know that, look, you're still not out of the woods yet. But for the most part, yeah, we have a long, long, cold... Now, not cold like northern Canada. So for anybody listening who's not Canadian and who doesn't know where Newfoundland is, we are an island in the North Atlantic off the east coast of Canada. We are north of Nova Scotia, south of Greenland, obviously, below Labrador. Most people know Labrador, so Newfoundland is part. Newfoundland and Labrador are one province. And here, where I live on this island, is the east coast of Newfoundland. So we're basically dipped in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the North Atlantic Ocean. So a lot of people know where the Grand Banks are because of the fishery. So we live very near the Grand Banks. So our weather, because of where I live, the weather here on this side of the island is controlled by the current, which is outside... right outside the Narrows. And when I say the Narrows, anybody who's seen a picture of St. John's, Newfoundland knows that our harbor is very much like a bowl, and there's an opening called the Narrows that Cabot Tower sits on one side and Fort Amherst is on the other side. The ships come in through there, and it's a pretty decent sized harbor once the ships are in through. At one point there was blasting had to be done to widen the Narrows on underneath in the ocean so that the cruise ships could get through. So here, when I talk about weather and cold, I'm not talking about the cold that Calgary gets, the cold that you walk outside and you freeze automatically. You're frozen, just, you know, flash froze. They get the minus 40s in the month. That's odd for us to get. We had a lot of that this winter. We had a lot of dry cold this winter, which is very odd for us. But normally, because of the water and because of the Labrador Current and the Gulf Stream, which both bypass the Avalon Peninsula, where I am, that determines the weather. And so this year was the most amazing year for icebergs. Icebergs everywhere. Everybody was flocking to Newfoundland because of the icebergs. And I was looking going, boys, like, I really, they're lovely. Yeah, oh, yes. I've been seeing icebergs my whole entire life. I know people who have never, ever, ever laid eyes on one. I know people on this island who have never laid eyes on an iceberg because of where they're situated on the island. And people think of Newfoundland, you know, when I talk about Newfoundland, it's an island, so automatically our head goes to it's a little piece of land. No, it's not a little piece of land. To get to the other side of this island, for us to go to Gros Morne National Park, and most people know of Gros Morne National Park, to drive straight would probably take 13 hours maybe or more. A beautiful drive across the island, believe me. But so I'm sitting here talking about our lovely island, but you know what? It is what it is. It's mid-summer. It's not the end of summer yet. It's not getting ready for school yet. There are children who watch television who are seeing all the advertising now for going back to school. Get your head out of the television and go outdoors and look at what you've got out there. Because, you know what? It's more fun than sitting there going, oh no, I gotta go back to school in 3 weeks or a month. That's not fair. Don't even go there, because that's wishing your time away. We're not going there. We're staying where it's nice and warm and nice and fuzzy and the wind is blowing and the birds are singing and the sun is shining. And with that, I bid you all adieu. I want to say happy summer, everybody. And for more about me, you can catch me, Betty Collins, on my Facebook page and Betty Collins eFactor page. And I have a wonderful World of Wands page as well. Thanks for listening, everyone. Back to you, John.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
And welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Do you ever need a lifeguard? Seriously. Have you ever wondered if there's more to your illnesses than what's on paper, what's right in front of you? You know, I've had a bad back for a long, long time, and, well, it could be a number of things. It could be the fact that I'm a little bit overweight, you know, carrying around that old spare tire. It could be the fact that every now and then I'm lifting around two biological children and a foster child at any given time. But then there might be something else. Could I be hanging on to stress there? Is it possible for the metaphysical to manifest in your own body? Is it possible to have just different things going on inside the body that aren't necessarily a physical reaction. They may actually be a spiritual one. Let me tell you, we could drown to death in all the information I could provide you guys about this, but lucky for us tonight, I have a spiritual lifeguard on board. I got Joey Deva and Krista Langsworth with me tonight, right here on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Guys, how you doing?
Joey, doing awesome over here.
Joey's doing great. Krista, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, John.
I'm very pleased to have you both on. Thanks for reaching out to me, and I know my listeners are going to love this because, well, who doesn't have chronic aches and pains and weird stuff going on? Like, oh my God, I got a headache all the time. You know, maybe there's more to it than meets the eye. Tell us a little tiny bit about what you guys do, and I'll let Krista go first, actually, okay? Let's ask Krista, since she's the one who answered the email, bless her heart. Krista, tell me a little tiny bit about what you do, with your life.
So what we do is we actually are able to assist people in resolving issues within the body. So I'll let Joe explain a little bit more about emotional toxicity, which can be caught in the body in different areas of the body. So we actually teach this through our spiritual apprenticeship on how to self-diagnose through looking at colors in the aura within the chakras. It's really incredible how we can hold spiritual issues, also your own emotions within the body. So we can actually help you resolve those.
Interesting stuff. So give me some examples of some of the things you run into very commonly with people. Like, you know, in the whole world of just medicine, I could see the first thing people talk about is usually the common cold. In fact, that's what it's called, the common cold. But, you know, I bet you there's all kinds of spiritual things going on that are very common in people that just don't know they got it going on. Can you give me some examples of some of the things you and Joey have kind of run into over the years?
Well, you can have an internal spiritual influence. You can have an external spiritual influence. You can also create illness within your body through stress. So those are some examples.
Whoa, stress? Seriously? Stress alone? I'm pretty much a train wreck here. So let's say poor old John Mallard, you know, stumbles into your office. You know, he walks in, he says, "Ugh, I'm so wore out. I'm so broke up. My knee is killing me. My back is hurting. I just feel horrible. Help. I need a lifeguard." What do you do? How do you go about assessing somebody who walks in through your doors?
Well, it really depends on where in your back it hurts. So if your lower back hurts, usually that would be that you're not supporting yourself in your life.
Wow.
Your middle back hurts, that you feel that your back is against the wall. If your upper back hurts or your shoulders, that means you're actually carrying a load for someone in your life. So then that's where we would begin the process.
Wow, that's actually really telling because, you know, as much as I was kind of trying to be comical that time, I was describing some of the things like my upper left shoulder. Let me tell you, I have a really hard time with that. And I've been rehabbing that for years, it seems like. I just thought it was, you know, I shoveled snow the wrong way. Do you think this might actually be something a little bit more than meets the eye?
Yes, you can actually change your perspective and heal your own body. So if your left shoulder is hurting, so the left side of your body is going to be more intimate relationship. Your right side is going to be more social. So if your left side of your shoulder is hurting, usually that's going to be you're carrying a burden for someone intimately in your life.
Ooh, wow, that's very, very, well, incredibly accurate, really. I'm a foster parent, so there you go. That's what I do for a living. I think it'd be interesting to kind of go back and ask all my buddies to do the same thing I do. Y'all got a pain in your shoulder or what? It might actually line up a little tiny bit.
Right, exactly.
Can you give me an example of maybe someone you've helped and how you've done just wonders in their life?
Well, I can give you an example of, so if your right shoulder is hurting, you can actually change your perspective of how you're seeing an event in your life or seeing someone in your life. So just by changing your perspective, that pain will go away.
Krista, would you please give John the example of the most recent client we worked with named Marzi, who's having issues with her grandmother? She's having arthritis. She's having knee pain. She was being drained. She felt that no fortune was in her life, and she felt that she was chronically ill.
Yeah, so boundaries are very important, and we actually teach these in you know, in our apprenticeship, spiritual apprenticeship. So the woman that we actually have been working with, she didn't have any boundaries with her mother. And finally, we showed her and taught her that all you have to do is do these two things, which are boundaries, set up boundaries, stand your ground, and you'll start feeling better. Your arthritis will start going away. And as soon as she did this for her and her daughter, the arthritis started going away. She started feeling amazing. Just by just little bitty baby steps changing certain things in your life, you actually are healing yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we've all heard about, you know, a simplest little thing like the placebo effect. We've heard about experiences like that. Do you think all this stuff is tied together? Do you think there's more to meets the eye, so to speak? You know, so many people out there, we live in this materialistic society that just completely wants to put our bodies in jars and on shelves and have it completely figured out in a scientific way. But do you think there's more of a metaphysical approach that should be used? Like, I think of the simplest thing, like, I'd love to see you two guys in a hospital waiting room where people are waiting to be seen. Can you imagine the good you guys could do in there for 3 or 4 hours alone?
That is true.
That's really another scene, John. What we look at is the big things we look at. When we first come in, when somebody has an issue, we're looking at a spiritual root. And a spiritual root can have an acute symptom that's going on with somebody, but we're really looking more so for the long-term stuff that's been going on and affecting the body and causing the body to, instead of stay healthy, actually kind of degenerate. So you begin to have this degenerative chronic illness, chronic pain, chronic injury that you don't have recovery from. Taking your left shoulder, for example, your left shoulder is also on an emotional level for a person who has very masculine energy, they're going to hold responsibility for someone intimate in the life specifically related to their left shoulder. And if that left shoulder or the issue that's affecting that left shoulder is never fully identified, then the healing will never fully recover and this degenerative chronic state will stay for a very long period of time. So we look at internally in the body, if we're looking at autoimmune stuff, we look at a spiritual root inside the body that is causing this autoimmune effect inside the body. We also look for chronic illness, a same type of spiritual effect that is coming into the body from outside our life. We also look at a spiritual influence or a spiritual attack that can affect fortune, affect well-being, and cause acute illnesses or acute injuries that life. And lastly, the real big thing we look at for people is who have a lack of boundaries, emotional boundaries with the people they care about. And when somebody has emotional boundaries with people they care about, we begin to get into the territory of emotional toxicity. And let me give you an example. If I am working with a client who has stomach issues is holding in anger. But more importantly, when you talk with somebody, and if you've ever listened to somebody, a close friend, a family member, a colleague that has vented to you, after the venting extension of getting everything off of their chest and comes onto your chest, you feel worse afterwards and they feel great. What happens is a long term of creating a behavior pattern with friends and family and colleagues of allowing them to vent to us, we're taking on their emotional anger and their frustration and their negativity specifically into our stomach. And people start having stomach issues. The first thing we look at is this person the type of person that really is a good listener, a really good ear for their friends, and everyone turns to when they need to just let it all out?
Interesting stuff. You know, it also lends to the idea, you would think someone like maybe a psychiatrist might be one of the sickest people on the planet in that case, you would think. So what could people do really for self-care, even before they come to see you? You know, they hear about you, they want to come see you, but before they get there, what would be some of the things you might suggest some people would do if they feel they may have a spiritual chronic illness?
On our website, we have at the very front of the website, on the front page, at the very bottom, a PDF book. It's a free book. You just click on it, open it right there, and it gives you all of the basic root causes of where we hold emotions, where we hold negativity in the body. So, for example, if somebody has ankle issues, repeated ankle issues are going to deal with pinpoint issue that's going on in a person's life right now. Many issues are going to deal with someone who is exposed to or trying to control a situation a lot. Somebody who has hip problems or sciatica is going to deal with somebody who has allows people in the life to walk all over them. If we're dealing with wrist issues, it's somebody, especially when you're getting a lot of this carpal tunnel, people who are really not supported in themselves in their day of life. And this can affect eyes, like ears, it can affect hair loss, it can affect everything that's going on in the body.
What about plantar fasciitis? There's something that I've suffered with for a long time. I can't help but feel like I'm getting like a self-diagnosis here. Because, you know, I got a lot of messed up stuff going on with my body. But my two feet are just plantar fasciitis. Really, the tightening of the bands between your big toe and your heel is what it is. Those muscles down there. What would that be?
I'm going to take a look. Give me a second, John. And I haven't seen your picture. And I'm just going to go off your energy. I'm going to read your energy, your feet. I am not familiar with that term, the plantar fasciitis. But I'm going to look at your feet and see what color. Oh, I see related to if you give me permission.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm looking at your feet now and I am seeing a pink energy. And when I place this pink energy over your entire body, I'm seeing the pink energy is going to be related to your heart chakra. So it's going to be on the middle left of the heart chakra, more towards your left shoulder. And it deals with, some type of issue you're having with a parent figure. The pink is, has to do with, very aware emotionally, and the feet issue, because it's on the bottom of the feet and the tightening, it's going to be dealing with some type of, intensity with, I want to say not fully grounding in or supporting yourself when you are standing or talking to or interacting with parental-like figures, and you come from a place of being very motherly, and not motherly in a, you know, only on an energetic level. So for me, it's viewing that you are not standing up for yourself when you're talking to parental-like figures or being in a parental-like situation where it's difficult for you to say no.
Wow, that was incredibly accurate. You just described John Mallard perfectly. You know, one of my buddies calls me Chicky Boo because I'm a very feminine guy, a very masculine guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm married for forever, but a very feminine energy. You're absolutely right. Wow. That's really incredible. I had no idea. You know what? Starting more morning, going to my wife, standing up to her. Thanks, Joey. But once again, you know, it's interesting to get that kind of insight just from injury. So many people will right away just rely 100% on, you know, science and medical science right away. It's so nice to hear that there's other practices and stuff like that. And once again, just because it's not in a textbook in front of everyone doesn't mean it doesn't work, right? You know, tell me about some of the modalities you guys use for healing. I'm sure you guys probably use a different approach with that kind of stuff, too. I never really seen a whole lot on your website. I never had time. I must admit I am a bit ignorant to that. But what do you guys use to help people out, basically?
So the best healing modality is helping a person understand what is ailing them and why, what behavior patterns, what thought patterns, what they're doing in their life that can cause them to become out of bounds, ill, not feeling well, or creating bad relationships. So that understanding is the number one priority. The actual healing work process, that's actually fairly easy. It can get a little more in depth. So when we look at healing for a spiritual issue or an energetic issue, spiritual would be if we're dealing with an autoimmune in the body, that in our viewpoint is a spiritual root that can cause the autoimmune cancer and other things like that. We ain't getting into chronic stuff. It's a lot more difficult to heal. It's a long-term issue. And believe it or not, when we deal with chronic issues that have a spiritual root, and almost all of them do, and this is not 100% in stating that every issue out there is a spiritual issue. That is not the case. But in our view, about 90% of the time it is. So when we're dealing with a spiritual root, related to a chronic illness that's affecting the body, we're looking about 3 to 5 years prior to that illness coming into the body. That person said in their life, oh my gosh, it's almost like having a minor and a momentary midlife crisis. I've achieved all that I can achieve. What else is there? What more do I have to go from this point? I don't know if there's anything left for me to be achieved. And that's where a door opens up on a spiritual level to invite an external spiritual energy to come in, which then begins the process of chronic. And chronic for us is going to be when we're going to get into from a outside spiritual influence come in, we're getting Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and we view those as possibility that we can resolve this. When we're looking at the healing side of the chronic illness, I myself don't do any healing work at all. What I do use is a service called a reverse aging modality, and it's to actually trick the biological clock, rewind it, so to speak, to where the body believes itself to be younger. That's the healing we do. And we put that on the body, and it has this really incredible effect. One of the things that we do, and I know a lot of the work that we talk about for the spiritual influences inside the body and outside the body and psychic attacks and spiritual attacks and spiritual influences sounds so foreign and so crazy. How do I explain to you that this really works? What we do in all of our work is we offer a 30-day no-pay guarantee that for the first 30 days, if you don't feel the change, if you don't see results, if you aren't experiencing something substantial, at the 30 days, you pay us nothing. We take no payment information. If you want to continue working with us, that's when you begin paying.
Yeah, there you go. You're literally putting, well, your money where your mouth is. That's how much you believe in yourself. And I think that's really important. You know, my old paranormal investigator days always come up when I'm in these interviews with people. And I always tell people that, you know what? When I used to go out and doing the ghost hunting thing, I always had my most success when I was in an amazingly happy mood. If I was in a good mood, I was like a magnet for spirits. Have you guys ever had any kind of weird, shall we say, freaky thing kind of happen with clients? Stuff that kind of even made you go, whoa, that was really intense. Have you ever, you know, kind of felt more than just what was in front of you? Have you ever had, I guess what I'm trying to say is, a strange experience with clients?
So we can do work from the worst type of exorcism stuff that's out there to the worst haunting stuff that's out there, demonic energies that are affecting people, spiritual attacks. I'm working with a client right now, and several months ago, she had a heart attack. She actually went to the hospital for a heart attack, and since then has not been able to recover. Her life is torn apart. It cost her everything she owned. And she went to person after person after person seeking some type of understanding or help for what's going on. And she crossed my path to a series of referrals. And I looked at her and I immediately knew she had what we view as a type of external spiritual attack of what looks like a spear, and the spear is jammed into her heart. And the spear was still inside her heart, and she was still having heart issues. And psychically, I was able to remove the spear from her heart and then go to the energy that caused it. And it was an external spiritual attack that happened while traveling. She did a lot of traveling in her work. And as we were in the past, and that past experience, even though it's spiritual, when you're doing the spiritual stuff, there's no such thing as time and space in the spiritual that can now affect here. And that's why a spirit that died 100 years ago is affecting us now. Or an energy that's been going on from across the country can affect us all the way back when we return home. There's no difference in time and space when you're dealing with spirits and energies and all of this wild, crazy stuff that could be going on for hundreds or even thousands of years ago, but it can still directly affect you right now.
Really, really interesting stuff. And, you know, I can admit it, man. There was many times I walked into different things and different rooms, and I just felt it all over my body. You know, I've been to some really weird places, and it's nice to know that it's not just the person who goes to these places that feels it. This stuff is all around us all the time. This energy field is around us all the time. That dog definitely agrees with me, 100%, what I'm about to say. Dogs can see spirits too, by the way. I know cats can definitely hear and see them, but I'm pretty sure dogs can hear them at least. But that's beside the point here. What I'm getting into is this other idea that this stuff is all connected. There's a different level. There's a different, shall we say, place among us that, well, maybe not even is among us. There's a spiritual world that we're all connected to. What kind of beliefs do you guys have spiritually?
So everything that's going on out there spiritually, they've been exposed to personally. I've worked with clients on it. From the worst of the worst to mothers who have had their sons or their sons and daughters pass away suddenly from a car accident or from an injury or an acute sickness that happened. And they would come to me and say, did they pass up to the white light? Well, I got news for you, John. Not everybody goes to the white light. We have spirits that when they die, they can go to the white light. That's a possibility. And it's actually more often than not the place they go. And we also have earthbound spirits. So when a person dies, they die from a traumatic experience, a sudden death or a murder, a suicide. They may not see the white light and they become earthbound. And then we have the spirits that die a really bad death. They don't go anywhere and they become an earthbound haunting. And then lastly, we also have the black light. There's a possibility that when you pass on, that you don't go to the white light. You don't go to the good place, they say. You're not earthbound, so you go to the other place, the black light. Now, personally, all of my family members are passed on. I've seen where they've gone. I try to help everybody go to the white light, but there are times that you're just not supposed to. And this is one of the biggest lessons that we learn as a healer or when doing any type of healing work is to discern everything that's going on with an individual to see the current life path, the future life path of what's supposed to be going on, where they're supposed to be going, to be able to respect their journey and not try and change it because we would like to have them go to a good place. They need to go wherever it is they need to go to. And it's not up to me to say, hey, this is where you go. So whenever I have somebody that comes to me, if someone has passed on, I try and get them up to the white light. Now, when someone dies and they go up to the white light, I consider that to be the first stage of heaven, and I recognize four stages. The first stage of heaven is where the reincarnation place happens. This is where most people go when they go to the white light, the first stage of heaven. And in the first stage of heaven, you're caught into what's called a soul group. Me, you, everybody out there. When you are coming into this lifetime, you are part of the soul group. That soul group is spread out over several generations, up to four generations. So the same people in the soul group, maybe your grandparents, or your great-grandparents, people in your soul group, maybe your brother or your sister, or your mom or your dad. And it's also going to be the very unique people that you have incredible bonds with, that you cross paths in this life. Those are going to be the people in your soul group. And so if you think about it, out of the thousands or tens of thousands of people that we cross paths in life, how many people do we actually form a really strong and powerful bond with? And those people more than likely are in our soul group.
Very interesting stuff. You know, one of the people I deal with a lot is my good friend Betty Collins. In fact, she does a meditation every single episode, every single one for the last year now. She does her own meditation, and I appreciate it so much. And this is something I always joke with her. I said, I don't know if we're part of our soul group, but we got to be somewhere close to each other because we're a lot alike. I call her my crazy Aunt Betty, right? Speaking of earthbound spirits, I see behind you somebody wonderful has joined us in the room now, no longer on the car. Hi, Krista. How are you?
Great. How are you tonight?
I am just so thankful you and Joey took the time, to be honest. And, you know, I'm pretty much ready to have some spiritual surgery over here. I can't wait to get all this stuff off of my chest, you know?
Right. Yeah, all we need is a picture. We're actually able to read your energy just from the picture.
Wow.
I can actually do without the picture, John, but if you can text me a picture, I can do some in-depth stuff in you right now, man, that will help change your life.
Oh, my God. What if I send you a really goofy-looking picture? Okay, I'm going to put this on pause. I'm going to see if I can find one.
Okay.
Hang on. Okay, go ahead. How do I look?
Okay, so one of the first things that pops out when I look at your picture is going to be off-center left four chakras. So when we look at chakras, we're looking at energy, and we're looking at a very specific science. Let me give you an idea of the science we're looking at. And this is how we begin to read the aura with some level of accuracy. First of all, your aura is going to be in three parts to me. The energy your physical body emanates, or it's holding it in from emotions and everything else. The second part is going to be the memory of your consciousness, which is called chakras. The third part is your awareness. And your awareness is all around you. It's actually further out than your body. But when people think about awareness on a physical level, it's their imagination. So when a person uses their imagination, the spiritual version of that is their awareness. So when they think about going to a place or thinking about a different location or thinking about somebody's picture on Facebook, they're using their awareness, what is normally termed as their imagination, to have a psychic connection. It bridges the connection from one point to another. So we have awareness, we have memory of the chakras, and then we have a physical body and the light that it emanates. When we're looking at the chakras, we're going to have inside of the physical body consciously six chakras. Within those six chakras, we have a front side. It's how we interact with the world. We have a back side of how we feel about the world. The left side, close to the heart, is going to be more of an intimate level. The right side, further away from the heart, is going to be more of a social level. And then what we have is the center of the chakra. And the center chakra is going to offer general meaning. Then we have off-center of each of the chakras, off-center right side with the right hand and the left side, the left hand. Middle, which would be the middle, and then far is going to be on the very far side. The far side is going to be more of a conceptual experience, whether it's in the front or the back. So the first thing that pops out to me when I look at your picture is going to be fourth chakra, off-center left. I see a blue color. Now, anytime we see a color of a chakra that is not of that chakra, in this case, your fourth chakra is green. The blue color is going to be a color that's related to your fifth chakra. You see blue related to communication or empowerment. And off-center left of your fourth chakra deals with a communication issue. In this case, fourth chakra is different from all the other chakras, where the off-center left and off-center right deal with children. All the other chakras, the fifth, the sixth, the fourth, third, second, first, off-center left deals with the mentoring experience. But for off-center left, fourth chakra, I know there's a lot of information. Off-center left, fourth chakra, blue, deals with a communication issue with either a child or a sibling. That's the first thing that stands out. So I don't know if that's a frustration on your end, you're feeling a frustration or a difficulty communicating with a child, but there's something going on that really stands out. It's very pinpoint. It's either going to be a child or a sibling, a major communication issue. Now, it's not a negative. It's not being upset. It's not an inability to communicate, but there's some type of communication issue going on. Looking at the rest of your chakras, you have, which is very unusual, in your first chakra, you have a lot of vitality in your second chakra. Now, vitality in second chakra, in the very center, is going to deal with a very powerful personality in career or fortune. So you have a lot of vitality and a lot of power in your career or fortune. And also equally unusual is your first chakra is yellow, and your first chakra is supposed to be red. And so with yellow in the first chakra, and a lot of people think the first chakra is related to sexuality. It's not. It's related to your physical vitality. So what this means is to have yellow in your first chakra means that you get a tremendous amount of vitality in communicating with people. A lot of your strengths and a lot of you really come out and communicating with people. I guess it really falls in line with what you do for the show, but it's for us, it's seen as an imbalance. And even though it may be your way of really becoming the personality that drives you, it's still, in our view, an imbalance. Now, with your permission, I will go in and resolve it. But before I resolve it, I'm going to take both those colors, the red over the second chakra, the yellow over the first chakra. I'm going to put them over all of your chakras, and I'm going to see what the root is in your chakras, the root memory. What's root memory? So let's say, for example, your fourth chakra. Your fourth chakra, like all chakras, is going to look like a tube or a tunnel, and it's a tunnel of light from present, your present life, so I'm 49 years old, going back to being born. So there's an actual tunnel of green light from right now going back to when we're born. So in my mind or my imagination, I view that tunnel in decades. Then in each decade, 10 years. So I look at where I'm going to see the color that's being bounced going back in your heart chakra in decades or whatever chakra it is. So if we take the red that's in the second chakra, or it should be in the first chakra, orange is your second chakra, career fortune. We take the red and we put it up. Okay, so red comes up for you, and it comes up off center right, sixth chakra. So a lot of vitality. Believe it or not, man, you are a very psychic guy. You gain a lot of vitality in how you discern. And discerning is not a natural ability that humans have. Discerning is the natural ability that higher level spiritual beings have. So you have a high level of spiritual aptitude. I would say that you are not only spiritually aware, but you are also, well educated. And you may not be well educated, college wise, but you are definitely well educated street wise. You are a very, very smart man. And on top of that, you have a tremendous level of discerning on a spiritual level. So that's not common for a lot of people. They either are one or the other. To have both of them is really something special about you. Because of that, I'm going to leave that alone. I don't want to mess or do anything that could interfere with your natural ability to discern. Something is going on there that is actually positive. Even though I see it as an imbalance, it still has a positive overall feeling of where it's going. Looking at the yellow, which is supposed to be in your third chakra, related to relationships, is really done over your first chakra on your vitality. I'm actually seeing this in your heart chakra, off center right. I'm seeing it in two places. Very unusual to see it in two places. When we're looking for a root issue, we're looking at it in one place. So off center right, fourth chakra, it deals with extended family. So it means that you have a lot of really powerful relationships in extended family. Extended family does not necessarily mean aunts and uncles and cousins. It can mean that. But for you, what it means is that you have all the people that you meet, you treat, especially if you vibe with them and you connect with them, you treat them like extended family. You're just one of those amazing guys. It's not normal. So let's say it's not abnormal, it's above normal. I would prefer to say in your case. Now, also when I'm looking back in your fifth chakra, off center rising, your throat chakra, and I'm looking, I'm gauging back, and it looks like 8 years ago, eight years ago, where it's seeing something happen in how you, communicate. So some big change happened in your communication, either your ability to communicate, or maybe this way, and you got into this type of work and what you're doing now that it really blossomed for you. And, this is once again seen as above normal. It's not as actually negative. So the root of this is it feels like to me by reading your energy relation, this you are showing in this picture you're showing a radio show personality that you can switch on and switch off. And that's the overall I'm seeing initially in your pictures before I get to you. How do you feel about that so far, John?
I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, I'm pretty quiet at home. You know what I mean? I'm not exactly like doing my radio voice when I'm playing with my daughter. So there you go. That's definitely accurate.
The shoulder stuff. Let's take a look at your shoulder real quick. So when I look at your shoulder, I see gray light on the top of your shoulder. So when we're looking at the shoulder issue on a spiritual level, it's going to be outside of the body, conceptual. So in the issue on your shoulder, it's a conceptual of taking responsibility or feeling responsible. So if we look at a woman who has breast issues or a man who has shoulder issues, now let's take this to gender neutral. And either a man or a woman could have chest or breast issues or shoulder issues. It's depending upon, in our view, on an emotional level, unless we get into emotional toxicity stuff, how they hold emotions on being masculine. A masculine person is going to hold it in the shoulder, regardless of being a man or woman. And a feminine person is going to hold it in the chest area, regardless of being a man or woman. And both of these are going to be dealing with feeling responsible for somebody who's had a tough lot in life. So you feel personally responsible for somebody who's had a tough lot in life. This is going on in your shoulder. Now, you're not feeling directly responsible because the energy is not actually in your shoulder. It's actually resting on the top of your shoulder. So you are in an overall feeling responsible and more of a conceptual aspect of, wow, I wish I could have helped this person, or wow, I wish things could be different for this person, or wow, there's somebody in my life that is going through something, and although I don't feel directly responsible, I feel that my heart really goes out to them, and I feel like my participation in another life, that I'm really going to do everything I can to really help that individual really come up, really make changes. But it may not be possible for that person. And that's where the shoulder is. So it's a respect. It's all it is. Your shoulder issue is dealing with the perspective of respect. With your permission, I will go into the memory that you hold in that space and put a boundary for you. And within a couple of days or the next show, or if you happen to see us again, you can tell if that actually made a change for you or not.
Absolutely. Go right ahead. You got my permission.
Okay. Give me a moment, please. I'm looking at the memory of your shoulder now. This issue looks like it goes back about 6 years. This issue looks like it goes back about 4 years. The fifth year, I see a lot of light gray. It's almost like there was a distance or a great distance between you and this other person. And it looks like 6 years, then one more year prior. So four, then initial shoulder, then five, then six. There's some type of big change that happened. We actually started thinking and connecting about this individual. I am putting their perspective with you now. And the perspective is, I'm going to look at your memory. I'm going to look at this individual's memory. And we're on a parallel between the two of you. And instead of being in a first person perspective, I'm going to resolve a first person, a second person perspective. And then, so you take on now a natural third person perspective of this individual. And how we look at this is, there are four perspectives of memory. The first is going to be first person. Second is, you know, me talking to Krista or me talking to a group. Third person is going to be me watching TV. Fourth person is me up above looking down below. The fourth person perspective is zero emotion involved. Third is the least amount of emotion and more of a objective look at it. Second and first be the most intense emotion. So I'm going to remember right now, I'm resolving first and second perspective of that memory in relation to this individual. Okay, that is done. Now I'm doing a quick reset on your body in relation to this. Okay. Do you have any other issues? Oh, the planetitis. So with your permission, I'm going to go on your memory and resolve this for you as well.
Okay, sure.
Okay, give me a moment. I am in my mind's eye. I'm turning you around. I'm having you face the other way. So you're looking away, not from me, but from the individual or people that this could be, this experience is related to. Now I'm going into those people's memory, who you shared this memory with, and I am resolving the karmic link between the two of you that gives them permission to allow you not to stand up for yourself. So give me a moment, please. So this person has issues in relation to you, and they're imposing this issue on you. I'm in their memory now, resolved in this issue for them, and therefore you don't have a plantar fasciitis, which appears to have become a defensive stance for what the other person is feeling from their own issues. So I'm going in, resolving this for the individual right now. Resolving the past, pink energy. And in this person's memory, it looks like it goes back about 8 years. So I am resolving this memory for this person going back 8 years. I'm bringing you two back together. I'm turning around to face them. I no longer see this pink energy in your feet anymore. Now, if you give me permission, I will use my healing modality. There's a reverse agent healing modality. It just takes me about a minute to set it up, and this will rapidly heal your body of these, of your shoulder and your feet.
Okay, I literally have 2 minutes. Let's make it happen.
Okay, so 2 minutes. So what I'm doing is I am looking at your body, and I am looking at the biological clock. And it's not just one. And I see a biological clock for your body. I see a biological clock for your soul memory affecting the body. I also see a biological clock for your spirit memory. And lastly, I see a biological clock on the DNA level. I'm working on all of these right now. Does it take me just about 10 seconds? Doing the work on you now. Done. Too easy, John.
Well, I'm glad I'm an easy part of your day.
Do you have any other bigger issues that you want me to address? Now, I want you to understand, a lot of the work I do, I don't come in as a psychic. I come in and we do in our consultation process. We find out all the issues somebody has, and we tell them if it's something we can address. And if it's not something we can address, I don't want to waste anybody's time. I don't want to waste anybody's money. And we would happy to refer them out somewhere else. Most of the issues that we encounter are people coming in for spiritual attacks or lack of fortune or problems. But we do get occasional people that come in for Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or cancer or Crohn's. All these, we view it to have a spiritual root. Now, it's very important you understand, I don't do any healing. I don't do any curing. All I do is address the spiritual root at the core. Once I address the spiritual root, your own spirit reorientates itself back to a state of wellness, a place that most people forget. That's why they become ill. And then the body heals and accelerates it on its own. I don't really facilitate any healing. I just recognize the root issue that caused the problem. And that's the same thing when we're working with spirits, we're working with ghosts. So let's say we have someone who has a haunting. We're going to look and see if it's a ghost haunting. We're going to see if it's a demonic haunting. We're going to see if it's a poltergeist haunting. And you had mentioned earlier in the show that you walk through the house and you feel a cold sensation. That's related to a poltergeist. And a poltergeist is not necessarily related to a demonic energy, but it can be related to a very aggressive haunting. And poltergeists are associated with a portal outside of the house that's not inside the house, so they're very difficult to get rid of. So unless you know to look for the portal outside of the house and resolve it.
Thank you, John,
thank you.
Guys, thanks so very, very much for this amazing interview. I really, really appreciate it. I hope that there's a few listeners out there on my end who might get a chance to even have, well, you guys on Skype. www.spirituallifeguard.com. Is that the correct? Okay, I want to make sure I get that correct because, it's .com, not .ca or .net or anything, guys. It's the spirituallifeguard.com. You are Joey Diva and Krista Langsworth. Guys, thank you so very much. And thanks so much for the free healing, man. I'll let you know how I feel. And, once again, I want to say namaste to you both. Thank you for being on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.